And we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 12, 14. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. Now, I know that I've been sort of sporadic in on this teaching on children, but we're getting close to the end of it. This here has to do with provision for your children. Just to recapitulate what we've already talked about, you realize that the Bible has a different philosophy about family and about marriage and about children than the secular world or what psychiatrists will teach you nowadays, what psychologists will teach you, what you see on television. You know, you have to feel sorry for families on sitcoms, because when you look at their family life, you realize they are really confused about things. And so basically what we're trying to do is what God's philosophy about raising children is. What is God's philosophy about marriage? I mean, what's God's philosophy? It seems to me that He has an overriding purpose and an overriding design, and He ought to have some good ideas. But it's also important that you realize that God, that doing this according to the Bible is not about taking the Bible's advice and applying it where you find that it's relevant, but that we're talking about wholesale giving yourself over to God's philosophy. In other words, it's not about looking through the Bible and finding wise suggestions on how to raise your children. If you pick and choose what you try to apply out of the Bible toward your children, you're liable to confuse your children really a whole lot. If you think that, you know, the world's got a pretty good philosophy, but God's got a few good ideas too, and you try to mix them up, you're probably going to get mixed results. And so I'm not suggesting that you read the Bible as a good, wise book and take some suggestions from it in raising your children. What I'm suggesting is you start thinking like God thinks, and that you take what God is saying and you take the whole thing. In other words, if you think I'm going to raise my kids the way God says, but I'm going to live in my marriage the way I want to, well, that's not going to work. You have to take the whole thing. A lot of people want salvation from God, but want God to stay out of their lives in every other way. Well, that doesn't work. Salvation, if you take salvation from God, you're taking God as God. And He gets to decide how you do things and what, and you have to admit that He's right.
That's right.
So we have God's philosophy about life, God's philosophy about marriage, the Bible's idea about how to raise children, and it's a package deal. You take the whole thing and it'll work. But there's something else you ought to consider, and that's what I mean by it'll work. You see, because you can get down toward the end of your life and have done everything according to the way the Bible said and be real disappointed in God, because you'll find out your children aren't famous, or your children aren't professional athletes, and they're not doctors, and they're not politicians, and they're not lawyers. And you say, what happened, God? You know, I raised my kids like... They're not wealthy. Everything didn't work out for them like you expected. And I just got to let you know that you're accepting God's philosophy, not just about how to raise your children, but where you're trying to get them to. If you want your children to be wealthy, if you want them to be gold medalists in the Olympics, well, you might be disappointed if you try to raise them the way God decides to raise them. You might get down toward the end and say, you know, Lord, my children are socially awkward.
Yeah.
And you say, well, I didn't bargain on that. I didn't want my children to be socially awkward. I wanted them to fit in. Now, listen, if you want your kids to fit in, you probably shouldn't go with the Bible's way because your kids aren't necessarily going to fit in. Boy, look at my kids. Sorry about that. All of them are socially awkward. What can I say? I was terribly socially awkward. Some of you would say I still am. The way y'all laugh, I think like all of you would say I'm still socially awkward. You know, it's true. It's true. God is not, he's not promising to make your kids really, you know, the leaders of everything and turn them into, you know, the highest professions. He's going to make them the best lawyers. In fact, if you raise your kids the way God tells you to raise your kids, they're probably not going to make very good lawyers. They're certainly not going to make good politicians. You know, you just got to choose. You really, and you need to know what you're getting into when you start this thing. When you say, I'm going to take God's philosophy, you're not just saying, I'm going to take God's suggestions and then he's going to promise me because I'm taking his suggestions and that he's going to promise me my kids are going to turn out like I hope. Well, no, what you're doing is you're saying, God, you're right, and I'm going to take your whole philosophy, and that means my kids are going to turn out like you hope, like you suppose. So if you do things God's way, what does that guarantee? Does it guarantee that your kids are going to be healthy, wealthy, socially fitting in real good, you know? They're going to be prom queen. You know, homecoming queen. What is that called? Homecoming queen. They're gonna be popular. They're gonna be the number one cheerleaders and that sort of thing. God doesn't guarantee that sort of thing. How about, you know, go to college? How about, you know, become doctors or lawyers or, you know, some truly important profession? Be top of their game. Be great authors. Or something of that. Something spectacular. It's possible that your kids aren't going to be above average. And if you raise them the way God tells you to raise them, the only guarantee that I can say exists is that you'll please God. There's no guarantee that your kids are going to come out right or perfect or better than, you know, the other way in that sense. But God is saying they'll come out like I expected them to come out. I mean, I'm going to honor my word. That's all he'll say. I'll honor my word. And I don't even think God guarantees your kid's salvation. I don't believe God takes that upon himself to guarantee those sort of things. In fact, I believe God reserves his privileges. God says, hey, look, I'm God. And I'm not going to stop being God just because, you know, you do things right. He's going to be God, and so all I can say that you can get guaranteed if you do things God's way is that you'll please God. Amen. And God will say, well done on that day. If you do things God's way, he'll say, well done. If you're hoping for more than that, boy, you do have your sights set way up there, you know. What else do you hope for? What else are you going for? I want to raise my children the way God says. Not because of some guarantee that they're going to turn out better looking than me. You know, more advanced, more well adjusted than I was. No, that's not the point. The point is, God will say, yeah, that's what I wanted. That's what I expected. So we're taking God's philosophy and we're taking it within an informed way that we're not expecting God's philosophy to turn our kids into prom queens. Or doctors, or lawyers, or politicians, or something else. What we're saying is, God, you turn them into what you want them to be. God, they're yours. And that's one of the big principles that you need to learn. And that's, you give your kids to God. I don't know if you've noticed in the Bible how often that happens. And that God basically requires it. If you look at it, you look at the way the Bible does things. You know, God shuts up the womb and this woman can't get pregnant, she can't have a child, and she's just suffering and saying, God, what's going on? This happens over and over and over in the Bible. You know, Sarah, her womb was shut by God. And then Rebecca, I mean, come on, are you kidding me? Two in a row? And then Rachel, you know, three in a row? Are you kidding me? How is this possible? And it just keeps on going. And Hannah and Elizabeth, and over and over and over in the Bible, it just keeps happening. Why? Because God's saying, hey, these are my kids. This is me. I'm doing this. And then you find God blesses the nation of Israel so much that the Egyptians just can't keep them down. They can even try drowning them, and they can't stop them from just multiplying and multiplying. And it's just God's making decisions. But I want you to notice how many times God requires his people to give up their children. Abraham had to give up Ishmael. And that was tough. In fact, right now I can say that's a tough thing, what God demanded of Abraham toward Ishmael. That's got to be as bad as what God did to Job. In my mind, that's tough. He has to say, send him away. Send my son, 13 years old, away with the servant woman. Send him away. No. I would be arguing with God all night long, all year long. I'd say, no, that can't be. He had a lot of faith to do that. But that wasn't the only son he had to do that to. He did that to all six of his kids with Keturah. All six of his sons with Keturah, he sent them away with gifts. Bye-bye. So that Isaac would be the only son, the only heir. You talk about tough. And then look what God did with Jacob and how Jacob had to finally give up Benjamin. It's like God brought his whole life through down to that point where Jacob would say, okay, God, take him. And he had no choice. It's such a tremendous drama there where he finally gives up Benjamin. And Benjamin goes, he says, if he dies, then okay. Boy, it's a tough thing to give your kids over to God, you know. It's a tough thing, and it happens over and over in the Bible. You find it time and time again, how God is using our children to teach us something about him. But God gave up his children. God gave up his only son. He was explaining to us what it was going to take. These are amazing things in my mind, but you have to give up your children to God, and God is expecting that. And so you ought to just start that way. When they're born, you say, here he is, Lord. That's what Hannah did. God shut her womb and then opened her womb, and there's the son, and she understood what God expected. She took him back to the temple and said, here he is. Wow. And that was an important step. All right, God's philosophy, I guess basically we can compare it to the world's philosophy in those things that I've mentioned before, that he knows children are simple. They need to be trained. They're not like animals that just have certain instincts that when they're born, they can just stand up already and start running around and you know, get their own food and stuff. That's not the way our kids are. He says, I made them so they have to be trained and taught and all these things. And they're not only simple, but they're sinners. This is a hard one for people to accept. Our children are born sinners.
Yes. That's right.
And you know something? If you don't accept God's philosophy on this, you'll get yourself messed up. That's one of the reasons why the American system has worked so much better than all the other systems, because way back then people had taken God's philosophy and realized that people are inherently evil and that we have to protect us from this inherent evil that's in people. And that's why the democracy, the way they set up the checks and balances in the government, and the way they talk about turning our own selfish motives for our good in the capitalistic system, this was all come out because they adopted God's philosophy. And it has worked. And if you take the other philosophy, that humanistic philosophy, that socialistic philosophy that people are basically good and that they have certain rights and that everything should be and they'll do the right thing, it doesn't work. It hasn't ever worked. Didn't work in Russia. Didn't work in Israel. It didn't work in China. It's not going to work anywhere.
That's right.
Because it's not God's, not God's wisdom. It's people's wisdom that think they're smarter than God. And if you try to raise your kids as if they're good, basically good. You know, I was just thinking about this the other day. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Think about not just the comfort that there is that God is inclined to hear our prayers, but think about what Jesus says, if ye then being evil. He called us evil. He called us evil. Does that bother you? He called us evil. But you know, not just that he called us evil, he excluded himself. He said, if ye then being evil. These are some amazing points that God is pointing out. And if you have to accept God's, and if you do accept God's philosophy on these things, it turns into your salvation. It shows you how Him coming down and dying to save us, oh, it works out. So the same way with children. They are sinners. They are servants. People need to learn that. Children are servants until they're grown. Even the king's son is a servant until he's grown. And you need to treat your children in that fashion. Not like kings. They need to learn that. They need to learn how to say, yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, and those kind of things. And if you say, no, I want my house to be one of, okay, do your philosophy. Do your own thing. We're going to look back. We've only had 6,000 years to figure it out whether your side works or not. So, you know, you have freedom. God gives you freedom. You don't want to do things that way. That's fine. God's just telling you this is how you ought to do it. That a child is a servant and that children are spiritual and they need to be taught about God and their spiritual side needs to be nurtured. That means you need to take them to church.
Right.
Don't give this thing that you're going to wait and let them decide. No, children are spiritual from the time they're very small and they need to be involved in the spiritual life from the time they're children. All right, that's the philosophy that differs from the world's philosophy. And we had a fourfold solution, and that requires understanding how God wants you to deal with this. And the first one is training. Train up a child in the way it should go. And that training is not the same thing as teaching, and it's not the same thing as reasoning, and it's not the same thing as correction and discipline and punishment and all that stuff. Training, there's a certain time when you need to train your children, and there comes a time when you will no longer be able to train them. Just like there comes a time when that tree you planted, you're not going to bend it and get it to, you know, go the direction you want it to. Once that gets to a certain age, that tree's not bending anymore. You get that, right? Well, the same way, children, there is an age. Now, the Jesuits say that it's up till 6 years old. And, you know, they might know more than me. I don't know. They say, give me a child till he's six, and then he'll be a Catholic for life. That's the philosophy that they have. I personally think that your time of being able to bend those children is before that. I think you've got about a two-year window where you can actually adjust their attitude and change their personality, and even that's limited. But I do believe it's there. I believe there is a possibility of helping your children by training them to be happy. Training them to be respectful. Training them in fearing authority and these things. These things have to be done when they're very little. I think you need to start as soon as they're born.
Yeah.
A child needs to learn what word no means. Needs to learn to repress themselves.
Right.
To control themselves. And I think this requires training at the time before they're 2 years old. And if you wait till after 2 years old, well, you got your philosophy. Go for it. Go with it. You got your way of doing things. We'll see how it works. After training, and probably overlapping some, is correction. Your children need to learn about justice. They need to learn about right and wrong. They need to learn about what they're allowed to do and what's going to happen if they don't do what they're supposed to do and that sort of thing. And correction, the rod of correction. This requires pain, people.
Yeah.
If all you do is swat your kids without pain, they'll grow to resent you and hate you and that sort of thing. But if you give them a little bit of pain when you spank them, when they've done wrong, and that has to do with doing wrong, and you give them that pain, that rod of correction, your children will love you. They will satisfy. In other words, it teaches them about justice. It teaches them about punishment. It teaches them about reconciliation. It's a wonderful thing, and I believe that starts from the time they're toddlers. They begin walking around and talking around, then they're going to do some things that are needing punishment, and they need to get that punishment. You got to learn how to do that, and you can. Then you have what's called instruction in the Bible, and that's how far we got last time. It was on this instruction, that kids need to be taught. In fact, kids are a huge investment. You got to invest the time to teach your children. And I know you're busy, right? You got a job. You got three jobs. You know, you got so many mouths to feed. You got to have three jobs, that sort of thing. No. Listen, your kids are an investment, and they're first. You'd be better off not having a brand new car and not living in a beautiful house and have time to teach your children. That would be better. That would be a wiser move because they need to be instructed. And listen to me. They need to be instructed in everything. This is how far I got last time. The instruction of the father and the law of the mother in Proverbs 1:8 talks about both how both parents have to give their what they do, how they instruct their children, and it needs. And let me tell you something. Boy, children need to be taught by dad and mom.
That's right.
And girl children need to be taught by dad and mom.
Yeah.
You both have something to offer. In fact, a dad can't teach a boy everything a boy needs to learn. And a mom can't teach a girl everything she needs to learn.
Right.
You need them both. And that's why you need a wholesome marriage.
That's right.
I got to tell you, you start off with a real disadvantage if you're a single mom.
Right.
No judgmental here. I'm not trying to be judgmental. I'm just saying there's a disadvantage. And if you think, and this is not just me, this is every expert in the world will tell you, it's not as good. Single parents and children raised in broken homes, they have all sorts of more problems with authority, with the law, with their school teachers, with their jobs, with everything. They got more problems. They got more problems with drinking. They got more problems with suicide. They have more problems in a healthy marriage. They have problems, okay? So don't act like this is an alternative lifestyle. If this is what you have to deal with it. Yes, deal with it the best you know how. Ask God to make up the deficiencies. Because God is a good father. He says, when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up.
Right.
This is wonderful. God does. He does carry the load. Yeah, he does. He says, take my cross. I mean, he says, take my yoke upon you. You get it? Yoke. Both of you are carrying part of the load. That's the way Jesus does things. So you have a certain difficulty in your marriage or in your life or whatever. Okay. Have God pick up the slack and take that part that you can't carry. But at the same time, don't be denigrating the way God made it. Single, you know, all of these celebrities that can't keep a marriage together, been married 5 times, and now they say, oh, forget it. And they say, I want kids, and I don't have time to actually have one, so I'm going to adopt one. Or you've got these homosexual couples adopting children.
Right.
Listen, there's some real problems with people's philosophy. But God never intended for homosexual couples to have children.
Amen.
He never intended that. And he never intended single moms.
Yes.
That was not his intention. He intended children to be raised in a family environment with a godly mom and a godly dad doing things God's way.
That's right.
And if that happens, things are better.
That's right. Amen.
Now remember, things are better from God's perspective, not from the world's perspective necessarily. You raise your kids in a godly way doesn't mean your kids are going to be brighter than Einstein. It doesn't mean they're going to be, you know, child prodigies. It doesn't even mean they're going to be good politicians or lawyers or anything like that. It just means it's better. God says it's better. And it is better. It'll be better from a spiritual perspective. Children need to be taught just about everything. And kids, you need to be humble. You need to be taught. I mean, all of us need to be taught. I don't know why we can get so proud that we don't want to be taught. We want to act like we already know. And you notice kids are that way. They'll say, yeah, I already know. I can do it. I can do it. And that's good. That's, you know, that's nice that they have this attitude. I can do it. I can do it. We want that. But we also need to be humble and to be taught, to be teachable. Well, kids need to be taught everything. They need to be humble enough to say, okay, teach me. Teach me. I want to know. I want to know how to sew. I want to know how to knit. I want to know how to cook. I want to know how to change the flat tire. I want to know. That's the way kids ought to be. And we ought to be willing to teach them.
That's right.
I have seen parents so patiently taking little children and teaching them such simple things like how to put the bottle cap back on the bottle.
Yeah.
And this is a 1-year-old kid barely can handle their hands, but they, okay, no, you do it like this. And I've just sat there fascinated watching how a parent will take the time to teach a child how to tie the shoe.
That's right.
Children need to be taught how to tie shoes. It has to be taught. Well, there's a whole lot of other things. And you know, this teaching starts from the very smallest and goes all, you know, almost through their entire youthful life. We're talking about teaching so many things. It takes a while for a child to get good enough at anything to be able to teach the parents.
That's right.
When it happens, a child will be better at certain things than their parents and will get finally past. But look how beautiful it is When, say, a father teaches a child, like Tiger Woods' father knew some golf, right? Teaches his child how to play golf, you know? And then after a while, his child can beat him. Yeah, you know, I mean, we're talking about a 10-year-old kid can beat his dad in golf, you know? And then he's fifth. But think of the beauty of that. Look at the beauty of how you've taken your child as far as you can take him, and then you watch him fly. That's just beautiful. It's a wonderful experience. Because you got that opportunity to teach them that. And what chance do they have to fly so well if they're not taught as a child? What gymnast can win a gold medal? Seriously, what gymnast can win a gold medal unless they're starting when they're 3 and 4? They can't do it. I mean, by the time they're 15, they're already too big to win the gold medal. It's just the way things are in gymnastics. Because you have to be small and you have to be, it's an amazing, you have to be light. And these little girls, 14, 15 years old, are the ones that are going to win the gold medals because they have that ability at that size. So that's the only possibility. They have to be taught when they're very young. And this is what God expects us. And you know, not just how to earn a living. And I mentioned last time, you know, how to fight and how to walk away. And, you know, you need to learn how. Kids need to learn everything. They need to be taught how to write a check.
Yeah.
How to balance a checkbook. I didn't teach any of my kids that. Sorry about that, kids. You know, but you know, I hope you learn from somebody else. But, you know, the truth is they need to be taught these things. Let me tell you something. Kids need to be taught spiritual things. They need to be taught the Bible. It means you need to know the Bible. And if you don't know enough, then you need to go somewhere that does know it and have your kids taught the Bible. You need to know you need to be taught about the charlatans and the false prophets and all these people that are out there trying to deceive your children. You need to teach your children how to avoid these dangers. The Jim Jones types dangers and the David Koresh type people. Have you had a conversation with your children about the Jehovah's Witness doctrine or the Mormon doctrine or Buddhism or Islam? Have you sat down and had a conversation with your children about these things? Well, it's possible that you're not doing things God's way. He did say parents to instruct their children, to take the time and invest the time to instruct them. Tell them your opinion about who to vote for. Why not? Tell them. Teach them what your principles are so a child knows who they are and what they're supposed to believe from the time they're small. Don't listen to this nonsense about we're going to make everything, you know, like you're going to give everybody else an equal chance to teach your children their philosophy. Don't be stupid. Don't be stupid. You have been given your children and God expects you to teach them your philosophy, your thoughts, your mind. Let me tell you something. You need to be able to talk to your kids about sex, about boys, about girls, about drugs.
Yeah.
Have you talked to your kids about drugs? Let me tell you something. That can step up and surprise you. You can just all of a sudden be surprised. I'm dealing with parents all the time who just, he was doing fine. He was doing fine. Then all of a sudden his grades start falling. What? He was an A student. Now he's D student. Now he's skipping class. What's happening? Have you thought it might be drugs? They're everywhere out there, people. Drugs are everywhere out there.
That's right.
You're finding them all over the place. Seriously, this is an epidemic in you do not have the luxury just to ignore this subject, parents.
Right.
You got to talk to them. You got to tell them, all right, look, this is what happens with drugs. And even if you don't know, find out and explain it to them. They need to know that they can listen to you and talk to you about these things. Tell them about smoking. Tell them about talk to them. Explain to them what the difference. Tell them about drinking.
That's right.
Tell them about the problems with gambling, the problems with dancing, the problems with these social gatherings. Tell them about the problems staying out till midnight. Talk to them. Talk to them about science. You know what they're going to teach your kids in school, right?
That's right.
Do you have a clue what they're teaching your kids in school? Well, you need to explain to some things. You say, well, I'm not really sure I'm expert on it. There's lots of good books.
That's right.
Get some good books. You say, well, maybe I'll just give those books to my kids. No, no, no. You've got to understand and tell it to your kids and explain to them how the deceit is there. Because the deceit is there. They are trying to deceive your children into thinking life doesn't matter a whit. Morality doesn't matter a whit. You know, don't be fooled into thinking because your teachers are good people that they aren't deceived by a false philosophy in this world that will destroy your child's mind.
That's right.
And it will. You need to teach them these things. You need to teach them about religion. You need to teach them about politics. It's important that you know that you're not just being a propagandist.
Right.
You're not just teaching your kid, this is our propaganda, and just saying a bunch of... Your kid is his own person.
That's right.
And he's going to have to make his own decisions. And you can't expect him to always agree with you.
Right.
So you need to reason with your children. This is what instruction is about. Explain where you're coming from and let them have some differences of opinion. You need to have that type of an instructive attitude and not just a propagandist thing, so that if they decide later on, you know, I don't like this doctrine, you don't deny them, you know, you don't. Because I know a lot of parents that just want to be propagandists and they say, we were born Catholic and we'll never be anything else. And when the kid says, you know, I got some problems with this, Dad, bang, kicked it right out of the house.
Yep.
It happens all the time. Yep. Well, we can't be like that.
That's right.
Nobody can be forced to believe in God. And nobody can be forced to believe the Bible.
Right.
But we can be reasoned with and we can be instructed. And you can show them the beauty of the Bible. This is the most persuasive book ever written. Show it to them. Tell them about it. Explain it to them. You need to, basically, God's philosophy on how to raise your children is you got to instruct them. You got to take the time to teach your children. All right. Now we get to this part, which is called provision. I read it. I'll read it again. 12:14 of 2 Corinthians. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you and will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. Did you get that? The parents lay up for the children. Now, maybe this is somewhere where we're not going to really get along if you're overly American, because our American idea is, you know, hey, everybody, pull your own weight. Of course, we're fast going down to where let's let the government pull all our weight. We'll let the government pay for everything. See, we're just... Listen. Maybe it's the industrialization of society, of all the rich nations, in that we think that all of our needs are met automatically, so we don't have to save money, and we don't have to prepare, and we got credit cards, and so we can just do whatever we want, and we don't have to worry about... But you know, that's not the way it has been all through history, and that's not the way it is in the Bible. They never act like, you know, there's some kind of a social network or netting there that can catch you if you fall, you know, and there's no unemployment compensation in the Bible. And so, your kids, you want them to survive, right? Well, you gotta teach them how to survive, and you've got to make some provision for them. I don't know if you've realized it, but when a kid is born, they can't even feed themselves. They can't clothe themselves. They can't do anything for themselves. You're providing for them. Do you realize that it is against the law for you to have a child at home and not have food in the refrigerator?
Yes.
That is against the law.
Yes.
You can't have a child living in your home and not have food in the refrigerator. You gotta have food there. Because what if you faint? What if you go insane, can't remember where you live, and your child is there and starves to death? It happens. It's happening right now. There's somebody right now on trial for murder because their kid starved to death. This is an underage mom. That's not right.
That's right.
We have to provide for our children.
Yeah.
You've got to make sure your kids have enough to eat.
That's right.
You've got to make sure your kids are clothed and that they have a decent bedroom. You have to do these things. This is law. Everybody knows this. So how far does this go? I mean, where does our responsibility end? We have to provide for our children. Well, I think it goes farther than most Americans would assume. And I realize that most Americans understand that providing for the children like reaches up into college and getting them a career and sort of thing. So that's more or less where we're going with this. But at the same time, you need to realize that we're talking about survival in any other situation.
Right.
In our life, in our generation, where it seems like everything's just provided to us by the government, maybe you think that your responsibilities as a parent don't extend that far. Because the government will pay for your school, right? There was a time when your kids didn't go to school if you didn't go and pay for it.
That's right.
Your kids worked down at the sweatshop down the road, 14 hours a day, 7 days a week, all their lives. That was what they did. They worked in the coal mines, you know, when they got old enough, that sort of thing. Well, now our society has changed a little bit, and the government kind of just provides everything, it seems like. So a lot of parents just kind of like say, I can just go out and blow my wad. I can blow my money. I can just be ridiculously irresponsible with my stuff. And children are out on the street, members of gangs, because they do not have parents that are providing for them what they need. You need to provide economically, of course, for your children. They need to have a place to stay. Women, if you're going to have six kids, you need to have, you know, some room for them.
That's right.
This is just responsibility. And God expects you to do this. But you have all, we have, I'm thinking maybe 30% of the children here in San Antonio are not provided for. They're living on the street. And I don't mean that they don't have a home where they can go to. I mean that they do not have the necessary provisions in that home of what they need. They don't have a dad in the home. They don't have a decent living space, or they don't have a clean home. They feel more comfortable living in the park. If this shocks you or surprises you, right here in San Antonio, you just need to go over there and look. Just drive over there on the certain sides of town. Just drive up there. Find a road that's not very well paved and drive down it and see. And see what kids are living in. It's not right. You say, well, I don't have that problem in our family. Okay, that, I understand. That's fine. But recognize, you know, how quick it could happen where you had that same attitude, like the government's supposed to supply. And if he doesn't supply the government, well, then what? Okay, nothing I can do about it. No, that's not true. You're supposed to provide.
Right.
Let me tell you something. The government is not responsible for your kids.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
The government is not supposed to make sure your kids get educated. If they're doing it, well, what can we do? We're the people. We're not the government. We can't make the government go our way. Boy, I wish we could. But even in a democracy, we can't make the government do what it's supposed to do. But we can recognize what our responsibilities are. And our responsibility is to provide for our children.
That's right.
Are you, as a good old-fashioned American, doing that? Are you set up to take care of your kids, say, if the government failed tomorrow? Why? You don't think this government can fail? We almost lost our government with Katrina. It almost went boom. It almost went bankrupt. We're about to go bankrupt anyway. I don't know if you realize how far our government is in debt. Are you expecting this government just to just keep on growing? Just to keep on going and just provide for your children? You might ought to stop and think, I am responsible to provide for my children. So what are you doing to provide for your children if the government went broke? If you stop getting your Social Security check? Boy, man, your eyes might get big and think, I don't know what I would do if I stopped getting my government check. I don't know what I'd do if I stopped getting food stamps. I'm just letting you know, God doesn't, He's not going to just take away your responsibility because the government's been doing it all your life.
That's right.
It's your job. So that means, Dad, you got to go get a job.
That's right.
Yeah, a full-time job.
Amen.
And you need to stop spending money on junk.
That's right.
And start saving your money and maybe buy a house and pay it off.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe you need to own a used car instead of a new car with a payment. You say, maybe, Bill, you're emphasizing things that aren't important. I mean, we live in a new society now. Life is different. Well, no, not according to God. That's the way God is. God says, your responsibility is to lay up for your children.
Amen.
Are you doing that?
Amen.
Do you have any savings? Have you built up an estate? Are all this time of prosperity, have you wound up owing more than you own? And we're talking about after 50 straight years of a boom economy. After 50 straight years of a boom economy, 90% of Americans owe more than they own. Listen, from that perspective, even people in Mexico are way better off. You really might ought to think about that. Because God is serious. God's not horsing around here. God does not expect you to live off your kids' money. Your kids' income. Which is exactly what we're all going to do if Social Security keeps going the way it's going. And our government keeps going the way it's going. Stay out of politics. Stay out of politics. Okay, I'll try to stay out of politics. This is responsibility. This is a parent's responsibility. I think our American way of life has gone, well, it's gone to hell.
Yeah, right.
And the reason why is because we have this idea that I guess we've never known want. We've never known hunger. So we have this idea that everything's just going to work out no matter how irresponsible we are. And you know what I see? I see Americans living irresponsibly. I see credit card debt everywhere. I see people living in homes they cannot afford and driving cars that I think, are you kidding me? I'm telling you, people who are just middle class are driving brand new BMWs. And since I like those cars so much, I go and price them and I think, oh, never mind. Are you kidding? I can't. I mean, I drive my little 92 Honda and I like it. I think it's wonderful. But I was driving it up next to a friend of mine and she was driving a 2008 Mercedes-Benz. And she doesn't even have a job. And I asked her, I said, what's going on? And she just now got her interpreter's license, you know, and hey, what's going on? Yeah, you know, it's a little payment there, you know. It just hurts. Listen, we got to be responsible.
Yeah.
The Bible says lay up.
Yeah, that's right.
Lay up. He didn't say spend it as fast as you can get it and spend more than you've got.
Yeah.
And make yourself a slave to your job for the rest of your life. That's not what he said. He said have a sense of responsibility because parents are supposed to lay up for their children. You ever seen those bumper stickers? This is my kid's inheritance and I'm spending it. That just might not be God's philosophy. There was a time, probably 100, 200 years ago, even in the United States, when if your parents were foolish, you were going to suffer. Now, right now, it looks like if your parents are foolish, you might make it. You might just be okay. The government will put you through school, and the government will get you a job, and if you don't, the government will give you food stamps, and the government will take care of your health, and the government's going to do everything for you, it seems. And so right now, we look like we're in an exception. But all over the world and all throughout history, if the parents don't lay up for the children will suffer hunger. And the children will go naked and destitute and have trouble. And they'll wind up being selling themselves as servants just to be able to eat. And so that's why God shows men that work and they build up an estate and they give inheritance to their children. And God says, look at that. That's the way it's supposed to be. Parents are supposed to lay up for their children. They're not supposed to spend their children's provision. This is God's philosophy. If you don't like it, you have all the freedom in the world to disagree.
That's right.
I just think God's philosophy is better. And I personally don't have a whole lot of confidence in our government.
That's right.
We are to provide. I really do want to finish this little part here. Let me make sure. There's some other things. Of course, education, career. Did you realize that it's your job as a parent to provide your kids a good church? You're going to move to some other town that doesn't have a good church? I know a lot of people do it. They pick up, they take their kids, they go to another town because of a better job or something like that, and there's not a good church there. And they say, yeah, well, there's not a good church there, but, you know, we'll have good Bible studies and watch Jimmy Swaggart. I personally believe that when he says provision, children ought to lay up for their children, I believe it's talking about spiritual things too. You have to provide a good church. What happens if you have to live poorer? Well, you have to provide your kids a good church. And that means you need to be part of that church, and you need to build it up and make it a good church, that sort of thing. Listen, this is part of it. I personally look in the Bible, and the way it is, parents provided for their children mates. Nowadays, we have this, you know, match.com where everybody provides their own mate. They get on there and they write on, you know, I'm 31 years old, super good looking, and, you know, call me because I'm desperate. You know, what we really ought to do is have parents.com match or something like that, where parents get together and say, I'm looking for solid Christians that, you know, that have a certain attitude and whatever. I just want to meet the parents. That's what we need. We need a website that says meet the parents. So parents can get together and meet each other and say, look, I got a 2-year-old here. How old is yours? A 4-year-old? Oh, yeah, that might work. That's the way it's been done all through history, people.
That's right.
This new little parentheses in our world, which we call America, this little parentheses, it's an aberration. It's not normal. You are a parent, start thinking responsibly. You are a parent, start thinking, I owe my kids something. I've got to provide for them.
That's right.
I don't have time. Keep going. Next week.